Brian Silverman, I'm CEO of the Produce Marketing Association based in Newark, Delaware.
And here we are at your big show of the year, the Produce Marketing Fresh Show. It's like a world under one roof, and it truly is a global deal going on these days, isn't it?
Very much so. I mean, this is going to be a record attendance. We've already beaten our record from 2 years ago. You know, we'll have somewhere upwards of 22,000 people here from more than 60 countries around the world. The largest show we've ever had in terms of the number of exhibitors. Really awesome.
A lot of business going on in this room, isn't there?
Well, that's what this is really about. It's all about doing business. It's about buyers at all levels. You know, some of the farmers are buying products and services from the input suppliers. You've got supermarket representatives from all over the world, from China, from Australia, from Brazil, across the United States. This is really a buyer and seller's paradise.
You know, when you think about your fresh shows from years past, many years past, I mean, go back a decade, this thing's changing a lot rapidly. I mean, it's all changed now. It's really big business, and the farmers themselves getting a lot more involved in their own selling, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. The direct between buyer and supplier, grower, is a huge part of this business. I mean, it's even gotten to the point of long-term contracts for some items, you know, like bananas and potatoes and so forth, where there are long-term contracts between buyers and sellers. So the middleman is being squeezed, but at the same time, people in the middle have become value-added service providers, so much more integration across the value chain.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, too, because when you look at the way the thing's moving, we talked before we rolled tape, the water issues, the labor issues, the food safety issues, there's a lot more integration going on with all facets of that, farming to supplier to broker to retailer, all working together really to try to solve some of these problems, it sounds like.
Well, very much so. You think about fruit and vegetables, it's a highly perishable item. And so the need to have speed and have efficiency in distribution is really critical, more critical than any other food item, quite frankly. And so this integration of logistics in the middle of the supply chain has become a major force in driving our industry.
Now, your organization, PMA, has got a lot to do with the marketing, obviously, with the shows like this, but you're involved in a whole lot more than that. Give us a quick overview of PMA's activities for the farmers.
So really, four things we group up programs in. One is this global community. So you're seeing that right here, whether it's, you know, buyers and sellers together, better insights into consumers. That's the global community pillar. Then we've got science and technology as a second area. Industry talent is a third, and issues leadership is a fourth. So industry talent, obviously developing expertise, attracting people to the industry, critical piece. Science and technology, using new technologies to address shortages of labor, shortages of water, shortages of other resources. And then issues leadership is addressing those things in Washington and other parts of the world that have an impact on a regulatory and governmental basis on the industry.
Well, you know, when you talk to chemical companies that are investing in services and investing in seed and investing in science and technology, that works right into your plan in terms of coordinating a lot of that kind of activity that brings the farmers into that fold, and they really are the beneficiaries of a lot of it.
It is, and you know, what's really interesting is that those people like on the seed side and the input side are getting more and more active in PMA because they realize that they need to have their voice heard by the ultimate buyers, that's the supermarket chains or the restaurant chains and the consumers. So they, instead of being stuck in the background as they've tended to do in the past, far more of them are coming forward and having their voice heard loudly.
Now, what makes up your membership? What funds your activities and these kinds of things? Obviously, this floats itself with all the business going on, but in the overall sense and the lobbying issues and the issues that you deal with.
This show is about two-thirds of our annual revenue, so it's a huge part of what we do. It underwrites the expenses of a lot of other things. Membership is about 20%. So it's a voluntary membership. That comprises about 20%. Then we have a big food service show in Monterey every year, Monterey, California. Then we have events all over the world. So those are the revenue-generating parts of our business.
And who's a member? The grocery stores, the farmers themselves, or anybody that's involved in any part of the chain? Is anybody welcome?
Absolutely. So it could be anybody from a Sunkist to an Earthbound Farms, from a Dole to a Del Monte, all the way through to a Whole Foods or a Wegmans or a Walmart. All of those are members of PMA.
What's your take on this whole water thing? You know, we run a network in the southeastern U.S., deep southeast. I'll spend 2 or 3 weeks here, spend 2 or 3 weeks there, and the last time I was out here, I didn't see a drop of rain, and then meanwhile in Florida, they're getting 3 and 4 inches a day in some parts of the state. What's your take on where we're going with this whole water issue?
Well, you know, there's a lot of debate about whether this is due to global warming. What is this? There's no question that the weather predictability has kind of been tossed out of the window. We don't know what's happening. There's huge shortages of water, not just here in California. I think what that's doing is we're turning to new technologies, new techniques, ways of more effectively providing water, whether it's drip irrigation or all kinds of things like that, indoor farming, for example, protected agriculture. I think we're looking at all kinds of different systems to address the shortage of water. That's not going to go away. We're going to have to get smarter at where we find water and how we use it.
No question. We're going to have more food to feed a growing world as well.
Well, you know, food production is going to have to increase 70% by the year 2050. That was one of the themes of the opening presentation we did yesterday. 70% by 2050. So who's going to grow it? Where's it going to be grown? And how are you going to provide it to this continually growing middle class around the world? That's really the people who want fresh food more and more. And it's not just in North America. It's across Africa and Asia, India. We're going to have to find ways to do that, and that middle class is demanding more fresh foods.
You know, talk about water issues, labor is also a big one, but, you know, this whole alliance thing with all parts of the industry from farm to table, so to speak, is really addressing some of that in technology. I mean, as we find labor harder to get to, and I guess your members are working collaboratively to try to do things better on the farm to reduce the need for so much of that hand labor.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, not just on the farm, in the packing house, too. You know, I was up in Washington State recently last month and saw the new mechanical sorters, amazing in terms of what they've done to speed up the processing of apple sorting, for example, and reduce the labor demand tremendously. But even on the farms, you're seeing more and more mechanized harvesting, people doing things that, frankly, 20 years ago I would have said were impossible to do. I would have thought they're turning to machines now because labor just is impossible to find.
I'll tell you what amazes me most about this show is to see the real farmers out here on the floor representing their own products to major retailers. And, you know, 20, 30 years ago, that just didn't happen.
Well, it didn't happen, but, you know, it's kind of part of this whole farm-to-table approach. Think about it. Consumers want to know who's behind the food that they're eating, right? So who better to tell that story than a farmer? And who better to tell that story than a farmer directly to a supermarket person who can then tell the story on to the consumer? And now that you've got the internet, that farmer can reach the consumer directly himself or herself. So that's why you've got far more of this farmer engagement telling the story directly to consumers.
Yeah, I've really even seen the TV ads and some of the stuff for some of the specific berry lines and things with the real farmers out there on the farm that's selling it to the supermarket that's buying the ad.
But, you know, if you ask consumers who they trust most when it comes to food, it's farmers. You know, it's not government, it's not media, it's not supermarkets, it's not restaurants, it's farmers.
Yeah.
They want to hear the farmer's story.
Very interesting. What am I not asking from a farm production standpoint? What am I not asking you as a PMA that I should be?
Well, that's a good question. Thank you for asking that. I think the key thing here, you need to understand we're in a global marketplace and a global production system for food. It's not just about the U.S. It's not just about imports or about exports. It's really understanding this is a global world that we now live in. There's huge opportunities for growers in the United States in terms of exports. There are huge opportunities for growers who have typically not partnered with foreign suppliers to get into the business of category management, where they can source the product from abroad, be a year-round provider of a product to a retailer in the United States. The savvy people are already doing that. I think this, the old way of thinking about I'm just a domestic supplier has really gone out of the window.
And I guess really that's what's grown the challenges for food safety issues, crossing borders like that, and also from import exportation of food pest and crop diseases as well. Those are big challenges that come out of all the pluses. We've still got those to deal with.
Very much so, and that's something we have to be very vigilant about, very vigilant about.
Appreciate your time today. Excellent interview. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Gary. Appreciate it.